Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a couple of days before Thanksgiving, 2021, the 23rd of November, to be exact. And we have a real treat for you today. Our returning guest, okay, been on before, wonderful guest, the Superintendent of Education in good old South Carolina, and that would be Molly Spearman, and we'll bring her on in just a second. She does a wonderful job, and I know she's not at all busy being Superintendent of Education in South Carolina. She's also now President of the CCSSO Board of Directors, the Council of Chief State School Officers, who helped me put together this show. Thank you, Carolyn, and everybody there, and Ryan down in Molly's office for helping me get that together. So she's a busy lady, and I appreciate her taking some time to talk to us today. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our Consortium for Equity in Education. Again, ace-ed.org. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is over there. We archive everything over there. The current issue is up on site, really large. There'll be a new one up there at the end of next week. Our December issue will be up. I hope you're enjoying what we're doing. And you can also link from that site to our newest site, which is called seltoday.org, Social Emotional Learning, seltoday.org. So please, okay, go over, see what we do, et cetera, but especially give a listen to this show because Superintendent Spearman, Commissioner Spearman, I'll ask you how she wants to do it, is really good. But are you Superintendent, Commissioner? What are you, Molly? What's the title?
I'm Molly. But
you're Molly.
Superintendent's what we say in South Carolina, Larry.
Good enough.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And it's a pleasure to have you here today. I got to tell you, you're a wonderful guest. And, you know, I was reading your biography up on the – you have to brag for a few minutes here, okay? You ready? Because you were a music teacher. You were a music teacher, right?
That's exactly right. Probably the best job ever I had, loving those children. And, you know, I still wouldn't mind going back to the classroom because I loved it so much.
I bet, and you'd be great if you did. I'll tell you that you would be like John Quincy Adams, who, after he was president, went back to the House of Representatives. And so after you're superintendent of education, okay, you can go back to being a music teacher and the kids would love it. But I just got to – this is really cool, though, okay? You were elected – you served four terms in the South Carolina House of Representatives, right?
That's
music
correct.
Music teacher,
back
assistant
in the 90s.
Principal. Yeah, and then into the South Carolina House. I'm just curious, what prompted you to do that? That's fabulous. That's wonderful.
Well, it was my father had served in the legislature, and I politicked with him when I was a little girl and got it in my blood. And luckily, our legislature meets three days a week. So I was a music teacher at two different schools. My superintendent allowed me. I had to resign one of the schools, and I went to Columbia on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but on Mondays and Fridays, I was in the school teaching music. So kept me very well grounded. And not every classroom teacher do that, but because of my teaching music and the schedule, I was able to arrange it.
That is fabulous. And look where you are now. And I want to say something else. You're really good at this. Okay, and I just want to read this. You're the former – you're now president of the CCSSO Board of Directors. We're going to get into that. But you are the former president of the South Carolina American Legion Auxiliary. You're the national chairman of the Girls State Committee. I don't know what that is. And director of Girls Nation. And you also have been part of Palmetto. That's something to do with South Carolina – Girls State. What are those things? What are the girls? Girls Nation,
I bet.
Yes, I don't know what they are.
Well, you may be familiar with Boy State. You remember the picture of Bill Clinton?
I'm familiar
when he was
with
in
Boise
high school.
State, but that's a. Wait, Boise State is in Iowa, Idaho. Okay, that's not what you're talking about.
Boys.
But
no,
I don't know.
B-O-Y-S. May remember the picture of young Bill Clinton shaking hands with John Kennedy when he was in high school. Well, same thing for girls. The American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary started these programs in the late 40s, early 50s to teach young people about government. And so it's a mock,
wow.
Young ladies come together, young men come together and set up a mock state and their own government, then select two delegates to go to their girls' nation, boys' nation. And I participated
wow.
in this when I was in school in 1991. It's still going strong 75 years later, or 75 years anniversary. And
yeah,
each
yeah.
state has a girl state, boy state program. So that's where I really got a deeper love, patriotism, and learning about government and how to appreciate our wonderful country with its wonderful history and its flaws as well.
Wow. You are really something, Molly. I got to tell you, South Carolina is one lucky state. They got you running education. Okay? You bring this incredible background to it. It's just great. And, you know, your message, and I have this down here, your message when you became CC, it just goes on with what you just said. Your message when you became president of CCSSO's board of directors, okay, has to do with, and I want you to talk about this in detail, into turning people into good citizens, making sure they are good citizens. And that's one of the things that you really want to do. Okay, and are doing, I might add, in the state of South Carolina, okay, to develop students into engaged citizens. All right, and you can see it in your background how that makes, how engaged you are in all this. Value diverse perspectives, et cetera. And by the way, at CCSSO, they did tell you that you now have access to CCSSO-1, the private jet. Did they mention that to you as president?
Haven't told me that part yet, Larry.
You know, they always,
me.
They do
yeah,
this year after year. I don't know what they're doing with the jet, but make sure you get, you know, do whatever you want, private jet. Okay. No, seriously.
Well,
okay. Developing students into good citizens, carrying that through the entire state. And I have to say something. I know that's what school districts are trying to do anyway, but these are tough times. Okay. And it's great to have a leader who has the background you do. Just talk about, put yourself in that and how you're doing it in South Carolina.
Well, thank you. And you're absolutely right. This is something, you know, every leader brings their own experiences and perspectives to their role. And while, you know, I'm only in that role for 1 year, it fits perfectly with the mission of CCSSO.
Yeah,
and really,
sure.
every state has their own mission in their education department. And they're all very similar. In South Carolina, we call it the profile of the South Carolina graduate. You'll find
mm-hmm.
the same thing whether you have Virginia, California, Alaska, Nebraska, wherever you may go, where our mission really is to build young people when they graduate from high school that they're ready. They're ready for college.
Yeah.
And careers and
mm-hmm.
life or citizenship. And I think we focus so much and we talk so much about academics, the college piece.
Oh.
We've been talking a lot about the skills piece as far as careers, being trained
yep.
in whatever jobs are available. And we talk less, although we do it, but we probably talk less about the warm, fuzzy part of just growing good people. And
yeah,
that's
nice.
Citizenship, that's life, learning how to respect each other. If we're ever going to build, and I heard you mention equity, if we're ever going to build
yeah.
an equitable society, we've got to have young people, and we've got 56 million of them in our public schools across the country who are good people, who respect each other, who
yeah.
can sit down at the table and talk, whether, you know, we look different, act different, have different viewpoints. And now more than ever, that role that we play in growing and helping raise these young people up, I think that's just as important as academics and skills. So I want to put a focus on this year. And, Larry, it's
great.
Really unbelievable. As I talk to leaders, whether it's in government, in the civic world, faith community, the leaders are all saying the same thing. It's about time we help folks and young people learn to live the golden rule, and that's just treat other people as you want to be treated. So that's
exactly.
my message this year. I want to talk about that. I want to encourage leaders not to be ashamed that this is not anything less than academics. It's not less than skills.
That's
it's
right.
on the same par with the others, and we need to be talking about this and focusing and offering programs in all of our schools and classrooms to give young people a chance to become better people.
Absolutely, and beautifully said, I might add. And, you know, what you're saying really, okay, if I may, because we all agree we're trying to do this already, but we have to communicate the fact, okay, that we're doing this and that this is on a par with the other things we do in school. And you know as well as I do throughout the country, there have been these crazy school board meetings, okay, where angry parents have gotten up and screaming at each other so bad that they have to call the police in and people have to be arrested and ejected. It's terrible, okay? When nobody has to scream at each other because all we care about is doing well for the kids, okay? And talk about the role of communications. I think that's the challenge. You know, people got all upset about what they think social emotional learning is, okay? School wellness, whatever you want to call that. Okay, but it got a rotten definition from someone, and everybody went crazy. And it's really, this is a communications problem. We've been doing this for years. So just talk
Absolutely.
About how that's all working out. You know, and the other thing I have to say is, as parents scream and yell at each other at school board meetings, the kids watch this. Okay, we're trying to have kids. Yeah, we're trying to have kids be polite and nice and respectful of each other. They can have different opinions. That's fine. Okay, but screaming at each other doesn't work. Just talk about that in your role,
well,
okay, within South Carolina.
Well,
go ahead. Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think, and I shared with my colleagues across the country, I think the first thing is that we as adults have to model good behavior. You know, it's easy to say, do this and respect each other, but we have to do the same thing. And I think that means bringing folks to the table who disagree with us. It's easy to sit down with people when you all have the same opinion, but
that's right.
I intend to bring people to the table who may have different viewpoints, who may not understand what we're saying, or not they don't have trust in us. And
that's
we need to bring folks together and sit down and talk. So I intend to do that as a leader for CCSSO, as a leader here in South Carolina,
Great.
To listen to the folks who have on the other side and do it in a way that is respectful. I think the other thing that we need to work on is putting some time into the school week or school day for students to sit down and talk. In fact, I met with a group of principals here in South Carolina a few weeks ago. They were so tired. They've been the caretakers.
Oh, yeah.
The principals have been the caretakers of the teachers and the students, and they're worn out.
Yep.
One principal said to me, we had already planned to do this, but it was just a stroke of good luck or a hand of God in our planning. But they started and set aside 1 hour a week in their high school where everything stopped.
Molly, are you there? Oh, wait a minute, she dropped everybody. She'll realize that and call back in just a second. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, she was cut off in mid-sentence, and I just got to notice that the call has dropped. I think she'll be back to us in just a couple of minutes, okay? It's a shame when that happens because it takes a few minutes for someone to realize that I'm not there anymore, all right, because their call has dropped. And as a result, they're talking and talking and talking, and we're not hearing anything they said because they're not connected anymore. So Molly Spearman will be right back with us, and I'll tell you, she is right on target with this. And the key is we got to respect what other people are saying, and we just have to inform them. Some of them are just poorly informed. Hi, Molly. Wait a minute. Let me get back to you. There you go. Hi,
yeah,
Molly.
Thank you. I'm sitting still, I promise. I don't know what happened here.
All of a sudden, I've got a little thing that said your call has dropped
you
right in mid-sentence. Okay, and I'm just agreeing with you.
I'm sitting still, but I think this whole idea of putting some time into the schedule, we've got so much to do, and absolutely on accelerating learning and catching up, reteaching, that it's very easy to leave this part out. And to for us in South Carolina, social emotional learning is setting aside time to sit down with students and talk, helping them gain skills to cope, to be able to have the confidence and to cope with all the trauma that they have been through, and
yep.
building this respect for each other. So I'm on a mission to make sure that every school has some time, no matter what program. There are many fantastic programs out there that they can use, or they can write their own curriculum, whatever. But that this, we have to meet these needs, these social emotional needs of our students before we can really teach them. And so it's more important than ever that we focus on this.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the, and you're the superintendent of education in South Carolina. Go to all the teacher education schools in South Carolina and tell them to start creating a course for future educators called Teaching Social Emotional Learning. Because we're asking teachers to do something that in many cases they've never been trained for. That's the social emotional
right.
side of learning. And we got to make sure that the colleges teach them how to do this, because it is really so important. You know, and you said schools are creating their own curriculums. They're using ones like down in Carolina is Aperture, one of the bigger companies in there. Okay?
That's
and
right.
It's just great stuff. Okay? And it's so important. It's going to make these kids better citizens and better students. All right? And
well,
parents
and
love
Larry,
that. Parents love that.
They do. Parents love that. I haven't met anyone who disagrees with this. It is sometimes they disagree with the labels, and
exactly.
and as you said earlier,
exactly.
may go down and feel very offended by a label. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm looking for things that we can agree on, and we want citizens who love our country. We want citizens who are proud of our country, but we want citizens who understand the good and the bad and have that optimism that we can overcome anything, but the respect for each other and just the four-letter word that we all are so scared to say is have a love for each other and
oh,
a respect for
sweet.
Each other as people. And that's something we sometimes are embarrassed to say, but we shouldn't be, and it's certainly missing, and there are many, many groups who want to participate in this, and I'm so excited. We've got a pilot initiative going on in our middle schools. We're practicing, as you would might say, on this pilot semester, and then come January, a big rollout in a program in middle schools where we are stopping for an hour and having what we call transformation table, sitting around the table talking with students around the characteristics like respect, honesty. Who do you know that you admire that has those traits? How could you be more like them? What would you work on this week in your life? And I just think we're all going to be better people for it.
We are. We are, and it's going to be it's wonderful. I hope every school district across the country, we're speaking North South Carolina today, I almost said North Carolina. I'm sorry about that. I almost said North Carolina.
No.
I meant South Carolina. Okay.
No, it's a great state. Great state. That's where my grandchildren live, so I want them to do this in North Carolina too.
Which one? Molly, I've asked you this before. By the way, which one has the better barbecue?
Molly? South Carolina.
I knew that.
Yeah,
knew
South
that.
Carolina.
I knew that. That was without question. That was a softball. That was too easy.
But you know,
okay.
But you know what? I eat it all. I haven't found any barbecue that I don't like, so I eat it all.
Yeah, but I'll join that club with you. I'd love it too. All right. In fact, just take barbecue, put it in the shape of a turkey, and have it for Thanksgiving. It's just an idea.
There you go.
It can catch on. It can catch on. All right. Make this form the ribs. Okay. It's good. I wanted to ask you. And I think, I'm hoping, this is pretty much behind us if we take care of COVID-19. How are the schools doing? Is everything okay with that?
Well, much better.
Yeah.
of our schools are back in. Students occasional. We have changed our quarantine protocol slightly so that, you know, if students are vaccinated or if they're wearing their mask, they don't have to be quarantine. That's helping tremendously to keep kids in the classroom where they need to be. So I'm very pleased.
Yeah.
You know, it's been rough. We had a really, really difficult fall, but things have calmed down, and I'm hoping that, you know, after the holidays, we will not see a surge. Encouraging folks to get vaccinated.
Sure.
Encouraging parents to talk with their pediatricians to get their children vaccinated. My little 5-year-old granddaughter got her first shot this week.
Good.
So,
you
know, I'm
That's
so
great.
Thankful for that.
Great. That's really cool. I got to tell you, when you said that there was trouble before, was it agri trouble or was it healthcare trouble when you said that?
Well, a little of both. I think we had a terrific surge about the time that school was starting. Lots and lots of quarantines, parents upset, and I understand that because it is difficult for your child to be sitting at home when you know they're not sick and family has been vaccinated. So we work with our local health department, DHEC here in South Carolina, and thank goodness they were very reasonable, and they understand how important it is for kids to be in school. So we are managing very well now, much better, and I think emotions have calmed down, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's a really good thing.
I agree with you. I think emotions have calmed down. I think that's a really good way to put that, and I hope so, because we only have everybody's the kids' best interests at heart. I want to keep saying that, all right? Yeah,
we do. And parents, we have to work with parents. We have to listen.
Well, they're the community.
Isolate. Parents are not the enemy. Parents are our partners, and teachers and school folks are not the enemies. We are partners in this thing, and it takes both of us giving our best to be successful. So we went through a rough few weeks all across the country, but I think common sense has settled in, and with the holidays here, this is a great time for us just to step back, take a deep breath, and forget about all that. Learn from it.
Exactly.
Learn from it.
Thank you.
You know, and move
Let's
forward.
Learn from it. And your comment, parents are our partners, it was the wrong answer to that question, okay, that helped Governor-elect Youngkin become become governor of Virginia recently, okay, from his opponent, okay, former Governor McAuliffe, okay? And parents are the partners in this, and we must – and school boards are local. All politics is local, as we like to say. Okay?
That's right.
They are part and parcel of everything we do. A school board is the voice of the parents. It's the voice of the community, I should say. So we must listen to
that.
But I remind everyone, good schools increase real estate values. First question,
oh,
any realtor.
Better believe it.
First question, ask a realtor. What's the first question? How are the schools in the community? Okay?
You better believe it.
Some people just don't understand that. We got to make sure that happens. There's another thing, and I just touched on teacher education a few minutes ago, and that is there's a terrible teacher shortage, and there's a terrible teacher pipeline shortage. All right, what's going on in South Carolina? And I have a feeling it's probably no better than anywhere else, but what's happening down there? It's brutal.
Well, we're very concerned, and we're concerned even before the pandemic. I think young people have so many choices, so many lucrative careers that they can go in to dedicate your life to education, knowing that you know, it's going to be a moderate salary. Really takes a calling and takes a tremendous dedication, but still the best job in the world, the most impactful job in the world, and we're continuing to try to get that message out. That's right. And so we're doing everything we can possibly think of for us in South Carolina. We got to raise our teacher salaries. We're doing that. We're working to get to the national average, not just the southeastern average. So
are you below national average in that growing state?
We are.
You're below?
We are. Yeah, we are, but our legislature is dedicated to getting there, and we're moving closer every year, except it's a moving target. You know,
it is.
Are at above the southeastern average and getting closer to the national average, making conditions in the school where the teachers feel supported, getting as much red tape out of their way so that they can teach, all of those things. We're also really working to try to recruit and make things easier for people who live in our rural. That's in our rural areas.
Oh.
And rural to us, you know, is not the same as rural in Montana. But rural for us still means you may be 30 miles. You know, you could be 30 miles from a Walmart. And, you know, young people don't really want to live that far from a Walmart or from a Starbucks or whatever.
Well, that's the new measure. Molly, you're right. That's the new measure. How far are you from the Walmart? How far are you from the McDonald's?
That's right. So trying to grow our own, making it easier, whether it's through online education, paying for it so that folks who may be teachers' aides in these rural communities who never had a chance to go to college have a way to get there quickly, you know, to complete their degree without debt, make it easy for them to get there, making our certification reasonable. We want to support our teacher education programs, but at the same time, alternative programs, because we know that there are a lot of talented, skilled folks out there who the only thing they're missing is that teacher certificate, so
that's
pathways
right.
for them to get in the classroom. So we're doing everything we possibly can. And you're right, South Carolina is a growing state. Lots of people want to live here, move here.
Absolutely.
Great place to live, great climate, business community, thriving, great quality of life.
Great history.
To raise a
great history.
Life. Yes, absolutely. So we, you know, we've got a lot of things on our side, but encouraging young people and those who are retired, I think that's another market. Folks who, you know, did their other career, made their money, but now, wait a minute, I want to give something. So we have ways for folks who are retired, who don't have a degree, to get into the classroom quickly. And so just everything we possibly can. One program that I'm real proud of in South Carolina is called the Call Me Mister program. It was developed at Clemson University. It recruits African-American young men to be elementary school teachers. It's in its about 15th year, and Larry, would you believe they have 100% retention rate? That the young men who go into these programs have stayed in education. Some have moved up in the chain
to
be administrators.
Makes perfect sense.
But we are helping support that program with some of our ESSER funding so that we can increase minority men into education, which is a tremendous need.
Just getting minorities into education and letting students of color, if I may, see themselves, is a fabulous, fabulous thing, for those children. And then we don't have enough males in it, and it's incredibly important. And Molly, I'll make my joke, to remind every high school when they have their career fair to make sure they put up an education booth.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a program that was started here years ago called Teacher Cadet, where our high school students can study about being a teacher, get practice as a teacher while they're in high school, and we hope that transfers into their interests. They fall in love with it and help these really brilliant students go into education as well.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful pathway. And by the way, I always say this. You know, you can be an educator for 10 years and then go do something else, okay? Nobody's making a lifelong commitment, okay, to any job.
That's right.
Okay, so
right.
I hope everybody remembers that along the line. It's just so important. One last thing before we go, because you are the busiest person in the world, and you also have to cook the Thanksgiving turkey, right, for the grandkids.
You got that right.
Okay?
You got that right.
I know
right.
that's coming. I know
that.
That's coming. Okay. I wanted to ask you, because I know you have an emphasis on this, and this is key, and it's across the country, is early childhood education, Molly. What's going on with that in South Carolina?
Well, you know, one of the best investments we can make, in fact, the return on investment in early childhood, we believe, is somewhere around $7 for every dollar that you invest, that you save in in having to remediate,
yep,
or in problems that may arise later. We're working very closely, and we, again, with our ESSER funding, have partnered with our early childhood programs here in South Carolina, not just those that are run by school districts, but through our First Steps program to make early childhood more available. All students in poverty have free all-day 4-year-old programming. We're working with parent programs where we are going out, working with parents as educators to go out and work in the homes with students and really building a stronger infrastructure, high quality. This is the other thing. It's not just providing those programs, but to make sure that they're high quality programs. So we're working very closely with our partners all across the state, expanding our 4-year-old, getting closer to universal 4-year-old. Universal for all children in poverty, not universal for all, but we're moving in that direction, so I'm really proud of that.
You should be. I mean, it's so important that, like, it's like the old Fram oil filter commercial. You can pay me now or you can pay me 3 times as much later. You can pay for the
Absolutely.
Oil filter for $10. You can buy a new engine for $2,000. Okay? It's
right,
that simple.
Right, and we have the data now that shows that our students in poverty who are in high-quality 4-year-old programs, when they get to kindergarten, they are ready.
They're ready?
Just like their counterparts who may have had more resources, more parental involvement, all the things that you need to be ready. But we can get them ready if we can get to them early enough. So that's important for our state because we have a tremendous, about half of our children live in poverty in South Carolina. So we've got a lot of work to do, and that's what will make the difference.
Unbelievable. You know, and we just got to make this difference. We can do it, and you're doing it. Prove it. And, you know, now that you're president of the board of directors for CCSSO, although your fellow superintendents are great people, okay, the commissioners of education, you know, carrying that message across, it can be done and it can be done everywhere. Go have a happy Thanksgiving with the family, Molly. It's a pleasure to have you here, I got to tell you.
Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Okay, enjoy that turkey. I'll talk to you again. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Molly Spearman, everybody. She's great. Okay, she really is. South Carolina Superintendent of Education and also the president of the CCSSO Board of Directors. So thank you, Carolyn, over there, Fantasy, for putting this show for me together, and Ryan down in South Carolina as well. Molly, you're terrific. I appreciate it. See what we do at ace-ed.org. And above all this week, have a great Thanksgiving. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.